Good morning again. My name is Kyle Thompson. I'm the college and engaged minister here at Shiloh Road. And if you are new, I just want to welcome you one more time. We also want to welcome all of you joining us online. If you're out of town, we miss you. If you're new, we'd love to connect with you as well. This morning, I get to wrap up this series called One Anothering. And we've been going through all of Scripture and talking about areas in the New Testament where it says to do something to or for on behalf of one another. There was a lady named Stacy. Stacy was a mom just like any other. She was in the suburbs and she had her family, her husband, her kids, and she likes things to be pretty normal. Well, one day, a new family moves in next door. And Stacy, doing what she does, she goes home, she whips up some nice homemade cookies, and she goes over to meet the new family. When she knocks on the door, a nice lady answers it, and it's very obvious to Stacy from the moment that she answers the door that this person is not from around here. But that doesn't bother Stacy. In fact, she kind of likes it. It's pretty exciting to hear and learn about a new culture, and so she starts up the conversation. She introduces herself, and the woman responds in, you know, very broken English, tries to explain where she's from and tells her about her family, and Stacy says, well, my name's Stacy. What's your name? And the woman says, well, you can call me Bominicious. Stacy goes, what? Bominicious? Yes, you can call me Bominicious. And she says, okay, and we'll see you later, Bominicious. And she leaves. Days and weeks go by, and Stacy looks over at the neighbor's house as she's working in the flower bed, and she sees the lady walk out, and she says, hey, Bominicious, good to see you. The lady kind of looks at her funny and goes about her business. Next day, she's walking and going for a walk down the street, and she sees her come out again, and she says, hey, good to see you, Bominicious. The next day, she's checking her mail. She sees her again, and she's like, Bominicious, how are y'all? But then one day, Stacy overhears other people talking to what she believes is Bominicious, and she's like, they didn't call her that. So she makes her way over to the house. She knocks on the door, and she says, Bominicious, why are they calling you CJ? The woman goes, I told you you can call me by my initials. Bominicious, right? When I was at Deer Run, people started calling me by my initials. They called me KT. It added a little confusion here. And the reality is, for me, when somebody calls me KT, I instantly know they know me from ministry, maybe from my youth ministry days, or maybe from my days working at Camp Deer Run. And that's endearing to me. But what that does not tell you is anything about me. If you hear that name, that nickname that I often go by, it doesn't tell you my personality. It doesn't tell you what I say, what I do, what I think. It tells you literally nothing, but there are nicknames that often do. Have you ever had somebody in your friend group who you called a certain name because something they did or they said one time, and you don't let them live it down? The reality is, you may not have ever had a nickname before in your life, but I think we all can agree that our reputations, what people know, what people think, what people say about us, our reputations precede us. The things that we do, the way that we treat people, the way we talk to one another, the way people feel when they see us walk into the room. I have a list here, and I'd like you to think, have you ever known someone who fit one of these descriptions? Honest, reliable, kind, generous, talented, trustworthy, loyal, creative, intelligent, brave, hardworking, fair, charismatic, inspiring, ethical, compassionate, respectful, wise, determined, and innovative. Be willing to guess, we would all love for somebody to say one of those words or something like it about us. But have you ever heard someone say maybe one of these words about someone, maybe yourself or someone else? Lazy, arrogant, rude, selfish, unreliable, cruel, greedy, manipulative, inconsiderate, reckless, cowardly, incompetent, two-faced, jealous, controlling, immature, ruthless, or stubborn. See, the words that we say matter. They can give life, they can build up, they can raise people up to a standard that they never thought they could reach, or they can tear down and they can kill quickly. What we say about someone might even drastically impact the direction of their life. There was a man named Joseph, but people didn't call him Joseph. No, they called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. We first are introduced to Barnabas in Acts chapter 4. If you would, grab a Bible. There's probably one in the pew back in front of you. I always encourage our college students to use a physical Bible if you've got it, because it's not going to ring. And so, if all you got your phone, that's perfectly fine too. Turn over there in Acts chapter 4, where we pick up and we see Barnabas for the first time. And I just want to say, Seth, thank you so much. I don't know where you're sitting, maybe back there. Seth, great job. Y'all give it up for Seth again. Phenomenal job. He read this text earlier for us that really sets this up, where the Christians are coming together, and it says they're having all things in common, and they're giving of what they have so that no one is in need. And then we see the writer of Acts says specifically Joseph here in verse 36. It says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which is son of encouragement. He sold a field he owned, and he brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So our first introduction to this man, he is giving of what he has, selling it, so that he can help somebody in need. It's a pretty good introduction, is it not? Not only is he mentioning him specifically, but it's pulling him out when other people were doing it too. They want to make sure you know about this guy, because he doesn't cling to what he has. He gives it freely. And I believe it's because this encouragement looks like giving of what we have, because we have received greatly from the Lord. Barnabas knew that. The son of encouragement knew that. That what he owned, it was never his to begin with. As we continue in the book of Acts looking at this man Barnabas and seeing more of the story about who he is, we pick up this other character, this man named Saul. If you've never heard of Saul, let me just tell you, he was pretty infamous at that time, especially amongst the Christians, because Saul was a Jew among Jews. And he was going out, and he made it his determined purpose to go into the world to find Christians that were gathering and worshiping Jesus as Lord, to at the very least put them in prison, or at best, if he could, he was trying to kill them. This man goes, and on his way to a town called Damascus, he has an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus. He's blinded by a great light, literally blinded, and Jesus says to him, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He does a complete 180 turnaround, and he no longer is persecuting Christians. He gets into Damascus, where the Jews were expecting him to come and kind of wipe out these Christians that were meeting there, and instead, he shows up and starts preaching for the other team. You can imagine the Jews don't really like that. So the Jews, they start conspiring and saying, how can we kill this man? How can we kill this guy who we thought was one of us? So Saul says, all right, I guess I need to get out of here. He runs, he tucks tail, and he runs back to Jerusalem, where all the followers, apostles and disciples, the followers of Jesus are gathered. And he says, maybe they'll believe me. And he goes, and it says that they were afraid of him, and they did not believe that he had turned to Jesus. That's what the followers of Jesus in Jerusalem thought of this man. Because he had done nothing but try to kill and condemn and imprison them. They were afraid, and they didn't believe him. And this is where, if you turn over to Acts 9, we see our friend Barnabas there. In verse 27, it says, but Barnabas took him, that is Saul, and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. In a moment where Saul needs a friend, Barnabas steps up. When everybody else is afraid, everybody else is like, do you know this guy? Do you know what he's done? Barnabas sticks his neck out for him and says, no, I've seen what God has done in him, and I believe that change is happening. Because encouragement looks like welcoming the sinner, seeing Jesus in others because we know just how much we have been forgiven of. And from this point on, it's really Saul who's often called Paul and Barnabas. It almost sounds like a TV sitcom. From Acts 9 on through into Acts 15, we see it's Paul and Barnabas. It's Barnabas and Paul. They're thick as thieves. They go on these missionary journeys. They go preach and teach and heal all the churches in the area, and they're going to and fro. That is, until Paul and Barnabas have a disagreement. And it's no small disagreement. Paul says, hey, Barnabas, you know all those churches that we went and saw? Hey, son of encouragement, hey, let's go around to all of them and let's check in on them and let's encourage them. Barnabas says, that's a great idea, Paul, but hey, can we bring John Mark with us? Paul says, no, we can't go with him. I want you to go with me. I don't want anything to do with John Mark. Now, we don't know the details of what happened, but what we do know is Paul says, I don't want John Mark going because when we were out on our missionary journeys, he deserted us. He left us. I don't want anything to do with him. And it's really interesting. Barnabas, all of a sudden, is now doing for John Mark with Paul what Barnabas did for Paul in front of the other followers of Jesus. And maybe to a fault, maybe he's in the wrong here, he sticks his neck out yet again, and it says, as we pick up in Acts chapter 15, verse 39, it says that they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas takes John Mark with him, and they head to Cyprus, and Paul takes a man named Silas, and he goes on the reunion tour to all the churches. And they split, and it seems the son of encouragement isn't quite encouraged. That is the last time in the book of Acts that Barnabas' name is mentioned at all. Let's think about that for a second. If we're trying to follow Barnabas and all the things he's doing, it stops with, he and Paul had a disagreement, they split, that's it. Thankfully, we have more text. And in those texts, later on, Barnabas is mentioned a few other times, specifically one in Galatians. But the latest text, or chronologically, the text that comes later, comes from a place in 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul says something to the effect that says, me and Barnabas, we're not going on missionary journeys together anymore. We're not thick as thieves. But it seems like they've reconciled. It seems like their relationship has mended. There's no record of them going on any more journeys together, but it does seem to indicate that Paul and Barnabas, they did not let the disagreement last. Because encouragement looks like seeing reconciliation, seeking reconciliation, because Jesus has reconciled us to God, because it's all about restoring relationships. So this morning, why? Why would Barnabas become known as the son of encouragement? Why does Barnabas get to the place where people know him specifically for that? Why does anyone get to the point where they're known for anything, especially something like encouragement? Why does anyone sell all that they have or sell what they have to give to those in need? Why does anyone see a sinner who is leaving a life of sin and coming to follow Jesus and they stand up for them and they welcome them when others are afraid and don't believe it? Why does anyone seek to reconcile differences and disagreements and go beyond preference or my way or the highway thinking? I think Barnabas was a very imperfect person. We're not looking at Barnabas today because he got it all right. We're looking at Barnabas because Barnabas didn't always get it right. I don't always get it right. We at Shiloh, we don't always get it right. We call ourselves a family for a reason. Because families are imperfect. Families love one another. Families seek to encourage one another. They seek to give as they have. They seek to welcome people back when they know they've done wrong. And they seek to look past disagreements or preferences to pursue unity because that's exactly what Jesus did for us. I think the main reason why Barnabas did what he did and became known for what he was known for, and why we can and should become known for being a church who encourages one another, is because our hope is in the kingdom that empowers us to encourage one another. Let me talk a little bit more about why I think that. As I was looking at texts that talk about encouraging one another for this, I stumbled across 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians is a book that, oddly enough, Paul wrote. In the first four chapters, we see Paul being an encourager. It seems like Barnabas maybe rubbed off on him a little bit. But we get to chapter 5 and we read this verse in verse 11 that is set up in the context of Paul talking about Jesus returning one day. That we are already, the kingdom is here, but yet we're waiting for the kingdom to come. And he is reminding them that as you live today, Jesus is risen, and as you will die one day, Jesus is coming back and you're going to live again. In the context of life, Paul says this in verse 11. He says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another, build one another up, just as in fact you are doing because of who God is and what he has done. This whole series, we've talked about how we can live together as the body of Christ, as the family of God in this place. Just listen to the things that we've talked about. Love one another. Bear one another's burdens. Serve one another. Forgive one another. Confess sins to one another. Spur one another on. Offer hospitality to one another. Pray for one another. And finally, encourage one another. And if you are here this morning and you are not in Christ, can I just say, please don't miss out on a community that's pursuing those things. Whether that's here or if you live somewhere else, please find a body of followers of Jesus who, albeit imperfectly, because none of us are, we're pursuing these things because that's what Jesus has done for us. In 2016, we essentially asked the question, as a church family, what would we like our reputation to be by 2030? I don't know if you've noticed, but it's 2025. We're just a few years away. We decided on this, that we want to be a church that exalts Christ, encourages one another, and engages our neighbor. Did you notice right there in the middle? Encourage one another. I read that list just a moment ago, and I think encourage one another kind of sums up all the rest, don't you? That as we pursue Christ as a community, as a body, as a family, we're called to encourage one another because we know how all this ends, and we know that life is only found in Jesus. So I want to give us a few questions. Maybe you can ask these things to see how you can better encourage somebody this week. Number one, who can you give generously to? Who's a person in your life that you know needs help? The reality is, whatever you have, I'm going to step on some pride here. Whatever you have, you may think you earned it, but that is not true. Jesus, whenever he was arrested and stood before Pilate, literally a Roman person of authority, he looks at him dead in the eye and he says, you wouldn't be standing there if my Father in heaven didn't let you. Fellas, I want to work hard just like the rest of us. I want to earn what I get. But let's be real honest for a second. You wouldn't earn a thing without the breath of life that God gave you. So what you have, what I have, what we have, God has uniquely given it to you so that you can bless other people too. And I believe there's somebody in your life who needs it. I'm not saying all of it. Maybe it's that old car that you keep having to pay insurance on that somebody could really use because they don't have one. Number two, who could use your support? And what I mean by this is, who's somebody in your life that you know they could use encouragement? Maybe it's that person that you know has been living a life of sin and they just recently decided to give their life to Jesus. And they find themselves in this. And let's face it, we're pretty welcoming here, but we kind of have a style. I went to a conference this weekend and I was sharing with some friends. I said, man, I just got to be honest. I am really good at church. I'm good at it, y'all. I don't know if y'all heard me singing over here. This section's not really used to good singing. Sorry, Gary. I was belting it a little bit. If you're above the age of 60 and you're a lady, I've probably given you a really good side hug. I'm really sweet. I know. I'm good at this. You know what I'm not very good at? I'll just be very honest. I'm not very good at talking to strangers about Jesus. Because I grew up in this. I can do this all day, twice on Sundays. It takes a lot of effort for me, and I'm pretty extroverted when I want to be. It takes a lot of effort for me to have a conversation with somebody with the hope that maybe they'll say something that'll be a bridge to the gospel. Who's somebody you can encourage this week? Because let's face it, let's look around. Each of us go about our lives in a place. Scripture says Jesus is not far from anyone. The reason is you're not far from anyone, and you are Jesus to them. How can you look to the sinner, the person outside, or even to one another in a way that you can support them? And finally, what relationships need reconciliation? We said it a minute ago, and I'll say it again, we are not perfect. I don't want to go read those two lists again, but I guarantee you one of the words or multiple of the words on both of those lists have been said here in this place about one another, maybe even this morning. Hopefully more on the good side, right? But I guarantee you somebody this morning said one of those words on that bad list, on that negative list, about somebody else in here just today. A second ago, Tim got up and led us in our time of communion, gathered around the Lord's Supper, the body and the blood of Jesus that's to sustain us, to enable us, to empower us, that good news of the kingdom, that we might encourage one another's. I just want to encourage you now. We're about to go, and a lot of us are going to go to class, but if there is somebody here this morning that you need to pursue reconciliation with, would you please be the bigger Christian and go humbly to them and tell them you are sorry? I wasn't going to share this, but when I was in youth ministry, I had that happen. Now, let me be clear, I was not the bigger Christian or something like that. Somebody came to me and they said they didn't like how I was doing something with our youth. And it had to do with something about Sunday evenings and maybe missing a chance for communion. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to get into the weeds of that conversation, but my response to him was, thank you, even though it hurt, even though it was hard to hear. And I'll tell you, we didn't end up agreeing on that situation, but I can tell you he's a brother in Christ that I love dearly, and I gained a brother that day because he came and talked to me. And addressing situations is so much better than sweeping them under the rug and acting like they never happened. Because we have been forgiven of so much more than we could ever do or say or impact anybody else. So this morning, I want to remind us, our hope in the kingdom empowers us to encourage one another. Wherever you're at, whatever you've done, I want to encourage you to say, this is why we're here. This is why we gather as the body of believers here at Shiloh, is to encourage one another. If you would, please pray with me. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for another chance to come and exalt you. Father, we thank you for the ways that you have shown us grace and mercy. We thank you for your forgiveness. And God, we ask that you continue to encourage us to be encouragers of one another. When the world wants us to bite at each other or to be negative, God, I ask that you give us a heart like Barnabas to pursue encouragement above all else. God, we thank you so much that you are with us, that you empower us, that the hope of your kingdom, both here and now and what is to come, gives us strength to get out of our comfort zone, to go out into this world, to share Jesus boldly. Lord, thank you for this day. We ask that you be with us as we go from here. Thank you most of all for Jesus and your Holy Spirit. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.